Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello, and thank you for joining me on the English program. I'm Linda Bordoni, and here's a taste of what we'll be talking about today. Pope Benedict XVI says the true enemy to fear and to fight against is sin, the spiritual evil that unfortunately sometimes infects even members of the Church. Salesian sister Bernadette Sagma speaks of the international network of religious sisters who are working hard to prevent human trafficking and exploitation in the run-up to the Football World Cup in South Africa. And Father Jim Brand looks ahead to Pentecost and reflects on how God really wants us to allow Him to love us. Some 150,000 people filled St. Peter's Square on Sunday in a major show of support for Pope Benedict XVI over the clerical sex abuse scandal. The Pope said he was comforted by such a beautiful and spontaneous show of faith and solidarity. And again he denounced what he called the sin that has infected the Church and needs to be purified. Lydia O'Kane has this report.
It could have been a scene from a papal mass on a great occasion or a papal visit like that of Fatima. But it was at Pope Benedict's Regina Coeli on Sunday that an estimated 150,000 lay faithful came from all corners of Italy to express their solidarity with the Holy Father in the wake of the clerical sexual abuse crisis. Greeting the members of around 68 Italian lay groups, the Pope thanked them for their warm presence, adding, "You have joined enthusiastically in this beautiful and spontaneous expression of faith and solidarity, which unites also a large group of parliamentarians and local administrators."
Quest'oggi il mio primo saluto va ai fedeli laici venuti da tutta Italia.
Yeah. "I want to express my deep gratitude," said the Holy Father. "You show the great affection and profound closeness of the Church and the Italian people to the Pope and to your priests who take daily care of you. Because in the commitment towards spiritual and moral renewal, we can better serve the Church."
Vi ringrazio di cuore, cari fratelli e sorelle.
As the Pope looked down on the huge crowd displaying banners attached to Bernini's famous colonnade reading "Together with the Pope," he told them that the real enemy to fear and to fight is sin, the spiritual evil which sometimes, unfortunately, also infects members of the Church.
Il vero nemico da temere e da combattere è il peccato.
"We Christians," said the Holy Father, "are not afraid of the world, although we must guard against its seductions." And he added, "We must fear sin, and this is deeply rooted in God, in good solidarity, love, and service, which is what the Church, its ministers, together with the faithful, have done and continue to do with fervent commitment to the spiritual and material good of the people all over the world." "That's what the faithful try to do routinely," the Pope continued, "especially in parishes, associations and movements, to serve God and man in Christ's name. We continue along this path with confidence." Before praying the Regina Coeli, the Pope noted in Italy and in other countries the ascension of Jesus into heaven is celebrated. On this day, the Holy Father said, "Jesus lifts the eyes of the apostles to heaven in order to show them how to walk the path of good." "Jesus is close to each one of us," the Pope added, "and guides our Christian walk. He is a friend of the persecuted because of their faith, which is in the heart of those who are marginalized and is present in those who are denied the right to life." "We hear, see, and touch Jesus in the Church," the Pope continued, "especially through the sacramental words and gestures of its pastors." Speaking about the World Day of Social Communications, which was being celebrated on Sunday and has as its theme the priest and pastoral care in the digital world, new media in the service of the word, Pope Benedict XVI called on priests to use the media wisely to make known the life of the Church and help people today discover the face of Christ. The Pope ended his Regina Coeli, his first since returning from his visit to Portugal, by warmly acknowledging the thousands in St. Peter's Square.
"May God bless all of you."
I'm Lydia O'Kane.
Thanks there to Lydia O'Kane for that report. We're all looking forward to the upcoming Football World Cup, which is due to kick off next month in South Africa. Give me freedom, give me fire. Well, I am anyway. A beautiful game in a beautiful country. And South Africans, I know, have been working really hard to get things up to scratch as world attention turns their way. As we lose our inhibition. However, human rights groups, and especially religious organisations, have been warning against a possible and very probable evil lurking in the folds of the organisation. And that is a huge surge in human trafficking and exploitation, as thousands of excited male football fans descend on the nation determined to have the time of their lives. Amongst the campaigns aimed at preventing trafficking in persons during the World Cup is one initiated by Talita Kum, an international network of religious sisters from 19 different congregations and backed by the International Union of Superiors General. I had the fortune to personally meet Salesian sister Bernadette Sangma. She is Indian by birth, but has been working here in Rome in the field of women's empowerment for the past 12 years. During these years, she has also become very actively involved in counter-trafficking campaigns. She's one of the founders and motors behind Talita Kum. What does Talita Kum mean? It's a beautiful name.
Yeah, Talita Kum is actually from the Gospel of St. Mark, when Jesus goes to see the girl child who was dead, and he extends his hand to raise the girl who was dead, and he says, Talita Kum, which means, little girl, rise up. No? So, at the example of Jesus, we women religious, we would want to stretch out our hands to our suffering brothers and sisters, especially children and women, and tell them this news of life. You know, however serious has been the situation of exploitation, they can still rise up. They can still rise up because there's someone who is holding out his hand towards them and saying, little girl, rise up to life. So we want to bring this message. That's why we took that name.
Right now, we're very much focused on the upcoming Football World Championships in South Africa. Why is it an area of such interest to you?
It is an area of great interest to us because we know that with the influx of so many people, especially among the fans, the soccer fans, we know that the greater part of the soccer fans are men. And so that can give rise to a demand. A very big demand for different kinds of things, among which also sexual exploitation. So like in any other kind of world events which fuel this kind of exploitation of women, we are very concerned about this. And that's why we launched ourselves into putting in place some of the activities of prevention so that women, girls and children, even boys, may not go through these very inhuman and degrading and humiliating experience.
Who are the most vulnerable people?
There can be internal trafficking. So within South Africa itself, especially from the rural areas, because it is easier to cheat the rural population because of their lack of access for information, or because some of them can be illiterate, and so it is easier to cheat them or to lure them. No, so we are concerned about the trafficking of some of the rural population. We We are also concerned about the trafficking of young people because the government of South Africa decided to close the schools for the entire period of the World Cup. So that can make the pupils, no, whole time free. And so they can become easy targets. We are also aware that because in the field of sexual exploitation, there's always a demand for exotic sex, there can also be trafficking from other countries and perhaps from countries that are quite far off, like Eastern Europe or Thailand or some of the Latin American countries and so on. That's why, because our network is international, because we have members of our network in these countries, we have alerted them, and our sisters are actively working also in these countries, far-off countries. I did not mention that the sisters are very, very active in the bordering countries of South Africa, Namibia, Botswana, Zimbabwe, Lesotho, Swaziland, Mozambique, Zambia. These are the countries where the sisters have been working very actively already.
So what are they doing? They're actually raising awareness amongst the most probable victims, shall we say?
Yes. I think the main activity is that of going to schools, to parishes, to rural communities, to youth centers, telling them this. Be careful if you get a job offer that can be too good to be true, especially during the World Cup, because that can be a possible way of luring you to be a trafficked victim. No? So these are the kinds of messages that we are passing on to them. So we tell them, if you have a kind of a job offer, especially during the period of World Cup, just cross-check. See that every information that you have regarding that job offer is verified first. Because if you just jump into that job offer, you may become an easy prey to being trafficked. You know? Then, of course, we give them the information about what is trafficking, how trafficking takes place, who are the main actors in trafficking, who can be traffickers.
Who are the main actors in trafficking?
No? In South Africa, I think the main actors are the criminal gangs. But there can also be individuals who can be like middle persons, no? Mm-hmm. Who can facilitate the person, who can be the recruiters in the villages. And they take the people up to the city or to wherever. They can hand them over to the criminal gangs. The actors of trafficking are very differentiated. Another information that we need to really give them is that, there's a kind of a stereotype, no, that all traffickers are men, no, but it's not always that. There are so many women traffickers, because if we do not give this kind of information, suppose an offer comes from a woman, they can be very easily lured. They can say, well, this is a woman, she can be very harmless. Instead, no. There are many cases of women recruiters.
What do they actually do? How do they lure them into their net?
Well, some of the classic way of luring people is giving them false promises, false job offers, and false opportunities. Opportunities sometimes for study and sometimes for training and things like that. You know? Sometimes there are also kidnapping cases. Cases of putting them on drugs first, no, so that they will not know what
taking their documents away.
Yeah. Once they get into the destination, they take the documents away. Right. They make sure that the persons who are being trafficked are already in a helpless situation before they take away the documents. So they wouldn't take away the documents in the country of origin. They would take away once they are maybe in the country of transit. where a person is helpless and cannot really react anymore, or in destination country.
How about the football fans themselves, the people who are going to travel to South Africa to assist in the tournament? Do you have a message for them?
Yes, I would have a message for them. I would really seriously want to tell them that the World Cup should be about the game. It shouldn't really make them go beyond the enjoyment that they would want to have, legitimately they would want to have with the game, to getting involved into exploitative activities. No? So if they were to collaborate in this, a lot of, I think 95% of the prevention of trafficking could have taken place already.
Imagine how good that would make them feel.
Yeah. Yes, because they know that they have not been accomplices in the suffering of many people.
Vimbo, vimbo mfana, vimbo,
even if they want to enjoy themselves, I'd like to tell them, enjoy yourselves, enjoy the game, enjoy your life, but not at the expense of somebody else's life.
Sister Bernadette's mission is a heartfelt one. Together with her sisters and the whole Talita Kum network, her message goes out to every single link in the chain of human trafficking, in the effort to inform, prevent, support and save.
I'd like to call on every person, irrespective of religion, irrespective of age, irrespective of social status, to really join this campaign. It is not only we who have launched this campaign. There are numbers of groups that are also launching other campaigns. So I would invite them to join at least one of these campaigns so that the message goes out there to every person, so that we are able to prevent this very dehumanizing experience. I can tell you, out of my contact with those persons who had been trafficked, that it is a very, very dehumanizing experience. And I think as human beings, we should be able to say, every one of us should be able to say, that no human being should be subjected to this kind of an experience. No human being should be subjected. And our desire to make the better of our life should never be paid by the lives of the other people, more so by the lives of other people who are weaker, who would only need our support and who would only need our care and assistance. We don't need to aggravate their situation by taking advantage of them instead of helping them.
And in the run-up to Pentecost, my friend Father Jim Brand reflects on how God really wants us to allow him to love us.
God has chosen to show us something of God's private life. That the Father and the Son have a sort of communion, a community. So let me ponder a moment as we're thinking of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. The sort of things that might be going on between the Father and the Son. The first is giving and receiving. In eternity, whatever that means, it's really beyond my comprehension, the Father gives everything to the Son. Born of the Father from all eternity. And the Son has received everything from the Father. I mean, if supposing my Father had been infinite and he gave me everything, I'd feel frightfully guilty. Because in this world, giving is canonized and receiving makes you feel a beggar. I'm suggesting to give with grace is as dignified as receiving with grace. And in eternity, by receiving everything from the Father, the Son has given the Father the gift of being able to give. There's nothing more frustrating to be wanting to give and nobody wants to receive. Left sort of high and dry. That's why, although I love cooking, it's wonderful to see empty plates. If you've prepared something for somebody and find it's all gobbled up, praise the Lord. So there's a difference in the Godhead to what we're normally used to. To receive with grace is as dignified as to give with grace. We see it in Our Lady. She knew that without God she's a nothingness. I was looked on in my nothingness. But she was also able to say, He who's mighty has done great things to me. And by receiving everything from God, Our Lady gave God the gift of being able to give his Son. Not possible without someone's consent. So it's very important to remember that although we stand before the Godhead with nothing, in our nothingness, we've done God the most enormous favour if we will receive his gifts. I think one day he may say, Jim, thank you for allowing me to love you. I say, what? Yes. I can only love you to the extent you give consent. Thank you for using your gifts. I mean, most of us are so talented, we couldn't use all our gifts in a lifetime. It would exhaust us. All human beings are super gifted. I'm thinking of a vine. In the garden here in Rome, there is a vine. It's got so many grapes, tiny little grapes growing. It'll kill itself if all those grapes mature. So earlier this year, it had to be pruned. And sometimes we have to deal with some gifts, but we can't deal in one lifetime with all our gifts. But the actual gift is God's gift. And I suppose the greatest gift we have is our being. I thank you, Lord, for the wonder of my being. Sometimes people have resentments about their being. Don't like my face. I notice the enormous amount of money being spent on facelifts these days, restructuring. I remember once, years ago, a lady came to see me. She thought she was very ugly. Well, I might have said to her, no, I think you're very pretty. She probably would have said, well, of course, priests have to say that. You would hardly say, yes, you look like the back of a bus. So I said to her, we were quite near London Zoo. I said, do you sometimes go to London Zoo? She said, yes, sometimes. I said, look, next time, spend 10 minutes in the monkey house. And when you've spent 10 minutes there, you'll feel reassured. She saw me later. She said, yes, I did. I spent 10 minutes in the monkey house. I came out thinking, gosh, I'm pretty after all. I haven't got a backside like those baboons. She suddenly thought, oh, I am who I am. And what people do to each other, if they're kind, is they'll help people enjoy the wonder of their being. God does. God thinks we're wonderful. He gives himself 10 out of 10. We're the ones who are so difficult to please. We complain about our face, we complain about our personality, we complain about our stupidity, we know all sorts of things. But if we thank God for the wonder of my being, God says, yes, Jim, you're like me. You're one of my unique works of art, and I haven't finished with you yet. So let's be grateful for the wonder of our being, this creator spirit who's still forming us. I mean, when I was young, I used to think, oh, well, he's finished forming me. I'm just a sort of pot, either a pot you use flowers for or a pot you put under your bed. You know, pretty straightforward. He's painted me already. And then I suddenly realised he's still fiddling around with me, this creative spirit. think I'm going to be a teapot. How painful. The potter's been pulling me around, he's made handles. I'm waiting for the spout. It's quite hard to be changed, because we're naturally conservative with a small c. We like to plough the same old field we've been ploughing for years. We like to do the same things and try and reduce the mistakes. But if we're going to learn new things and find in ourselves new gifts, we're going to make more mistakes. A 2,000-piece orchestra is going to make more mistakes than a 2-piece band. How hilarious. And in the growing pains that we all have, the Holy Spirit comes to comfort us, to reassure us, to give us confidence and faith, knowing that we're in God's hands and that we're good. We can only become better if we admit already we're good. Because the word better is the comparative of the word good. You can't jump from being bad to being better. You have to go through and realizing we're good. And that's what the Holy Spirit says. Call God Father, not Colonel, not absolute power, not general and brigadier, not policeman. Father. And our Lord told us, if we know what's good to give our children, how much more does the Father want to give his Spirit, his own life, his own capacity to love, if only we'll be courteous enough to receive it in our nothingness. I would just say, if you've been given the capacity to love and some faith, don't lose it. It's a gift for a world that's dying to know how loved it is by the Spirit of God. Amen.
From the English feature programme today and from me, Linda Bordoni. But we'll be back at this same time tomorrow, so join us then. You can also listen to our programmes on the internet at www.vaticanradio.org. You're listening to Vatican Radio's English programme. Laudetur Jesus Christus.